Well, first of all, I want to thank you all for coming. We're a small group, and it's always nice to have some guests with us and make it a little bit bigger than our normal three or four people. But anyway, thank you for all for coming. Well, let's lay a foundation. Let's go to Leviticus 23, and we'll start there. So these are probably memory verses, but it's always nice to rehearse it in due season and take a little bit of time to reflect back. So Leviticus 23, verses 1 and 2. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the feast of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocation, these are my feasts." So first of all, notice that these are God's feasts. They're not mine, they're not yours, and they're not the Jews. And then one other little thing, the word feast there, when you look up the Hebrew word, it means appointment. So in a sense, this is an appointment with God. You know, just like you make an appointment to go to the dentist, well, you made an appointment to come here with God and in fellowship with Him and with other people like mine. All right, let's drop down to verses 4 through 8 now to read about the season that we're in right now. Verse 4. "These are the feasts of the Lord, holy convocations, which you shall proclaim at their appointed times. On the 14th day of the first month at twilight is the Lord's Passover. And on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread to the Lord." And that's what we're doing today. "And you do it for 7 days. You must eat unleavened bread." Notice, I don't know, years ago there was a squabble in the church going on about should you or shouldn't you or couldn't you, whatever. Anyway, why not? You know, it says you must. Let's just go ahead and do it and enjoy it. It's an object lesson, isn't it? You know, when you hold up that piece of matzah and you do it every day. And of course, it doesn't have to be matzo. It can be floppy bread, or it can be whatever you like to eat. Maybe there's a nice little cinnamon thing that tastes so good, you know. Verse 7. "And on the first day, you shall have a holy convocation." That's what we're doing right now. "And shall do no customary work on it. But you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord for 7 days. The seventh day shall be a holy convocation, and you shall do no customary work on it." Okay, now that's the Old Testament command. Now let's look at the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 5, 7 and 8. 1 Corinthians 5, 7 and 8. "Therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump. Since you were truly unleavened, for indeed Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." So, again, we see it commanded in both the Old Testament and the New. Okay, now I've given you all a handout, so we're going to look at the handout now. The Apostle Paul gave instructions to the Corinthian church in regards to the Passover ordinance in saying, and this is 1 Corinthians 11, 27, and I think it goes to, yeah, through verse 31. And anyway, it says, "Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let no man examine himself." I'm sorry. "But let a man examine himself." Get the right wording here. "And so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks it in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason, many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep." And then verse 31. "For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged." So here, Apostle Paul is telling us to examine ourselves. And then the last part of the verse there, he says, if we judge ourselves, then we wouldn't be judged. Now, I want to pause for just a moment here on something. Because a lot of people, when they read this passage, they say, "Oh, I can't take the Lord's Supper, or I can't take Passover, or I can't participate in the communion because I'm not worthy." But the word "unworthily" here is an adverb, and it's not an adjective describing you. So it's an adverb describing the manner in which the observance is done and the heart and mind that you bring to it. So it's about attitude, isn't it? You know, we all need to take it. We all know that. But we need to apply ourselves. And again, this is one of the things that we can do. We can examine ourselves to see how we're doing so we can take the Passover in a worthy manner. Okay, so we all want to make sure that we do take the Passover in a worthy... Okay, I'm missing my word here. Okay, we want to make sure we do not take the Passover here. I missed the word "not." Passover in an unworthy manner here. We do not want to be guilty of the body and blood of Jesus Christ. In order to be worthy, the Apostle Paul admonishes us to examine ourselves. Now, the definition of examine is to inspect closely, to inquire carefully, to investigate, to interrogate closely, to scrutinize, and to test by questioning in order to determine progress, fitness, or knowledge. So let's look at examining yourself here by questioning in order here to determine progress, fitness, and knowledge. So we're applying the definition there of what we're going to do here. So we need to start by looking at the Ten Commandments, don't we? You know, David was a man after God's own heart. And he said in the Psalms, "For all your commandments are righteousness." So again, if we want to do something right, well, how do we know what's right? Well, we need to look in the Ten Commandments, don't we? So how are you doing in righteousness? That's the first question here. So keeping the Ten Commandments here, while we were able to look at it and try to do what's right, don't we? Several months ago, we went through a series with David Antion in our Bible studies, and it was on the weightier matters of the law. And a little lengthy, it was like 9 messages to it. But I was impressed when he was getting into like word studies and so on, where he was talking about righteousness and so on. And just like judges, they need to judge righteously. But the righteous, these words in Hebrew are very, very close to righteousness. You know, judging and being a judge and so on. You know, you're to do it diligently and that kind of thing. But again, they are to be righteous. And Jesus, when he returns, he's going to be a righteous judge. And again, he'll be keeping those commandments and teaching everybody about the Ten Commandments and so on. All right, next question here. Do you have any other gods before the living God? Well, we shouldn't have any other gods. You know, you think about it. The Muslims, they have a God, don't they? You know, Allah. And yet here we have a God who is the God of the Jews, of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We know our God is alive, living. We know that we need to obey Him. You know, He is our God. So we don't want to focus on someone else's God. Now, obviously, we can also make other things of God's kingdom. We can make our car a God. We can make maybe our house or our job or something. And, you know, we don't want to do that. Now, let's go on. Here's the second commandment here. Are you idolizing anything in your life that is so important to you that it takes all your time and energy and is forcing you God out of your life? So, again, you know, that job could be taking up all your time. You know, if that's the case, then you better examine yourself here and say, well, yeah, I need to cut down here, do something here so I can have some time for God and my family. Perhaps it's a hobby that's taking a lot of your time, or perhaps, again, your car, a house, or something else that you're... You know, if you had a house, all you're doing is working on it. You work your job, you come home, and all of a sudden you're doing all this stuff on the house and you don't have any time for God. Well, again, you better examine yourself here and make sure you have some time. All right, here's the next commandment here. Are you using the name of God in vain? Or using it inappropriately? Even like euphemisms, we've got to be careful. You know, like gee whiz and different words like that, you know. And you probably notice other people talking, they'll use God's name very frequently, you know. Maybe not in using the word damn along with it, but just perhaps by just saying the name, you know, and in a way they're not doing it appropriately and so on. So again, we need to make sure that we don't do these kind of things. All right, here's the fourth commandment. Are you keeping God's seventh-day Sabbath here holy and not abusing it here, not keeping it physically or spiritually? You know, one thing about the Sabbath, and I remember this was David Antion again, he did a message on that, and the Sabbath is the one command where you have freedom. You ever thought about it? You know, the other commandments, you know, thou shalt not kill. Okay, that's pretty solid and settled. But the Sabbath, you know, we could keep the Sabbath, pardon me, a little differently than you or you. You know, we all have a little bit different on how we might do that, not that kind of thing. You know, other things might come up on the Sabbath, maybe a graduation. You know, we got grandkids and some of them are graduating from high school, college, whatever. Well, it might occur on the Sabbath. Well, years ago, the church didn't want you doing that kind of stuff. But here again, when your grandchild has spent 12 years in school, well, there's nothing wrong in going up. You're not doing it every week, are you, on the Sabbath? But you need to take time. But that's still, again, you can still be in the attitude of a Sabbath observance and so on. Okay, how about the next commandment here? Do you love, honor, and respect your parents? You know, we could amplify this by asking, you know, do you love your wife and your children? Now, my parents were good parents. They're both dead and gone now. But as I reflect back, I mean, I tried to honor them. I know Dad, when he was sick, you know, toward the end of his life, had taken a doctor. Well, I was the one who helped him there and so on, you know, trying to honor my parent that way. And each of us, you know, each of us need to do that. And of course, it also then reflects down on the grandkids. You know, you need to honor your parents, see? So it's a two-way street here too, see? And again, do we love our spouse and our children? You know, we can amplify it. Well, you know, we need to do that, don't we? You know, I need to love my wife more. She'll agree with that, and so on. But you know, again, we have to be aware of the commandments and how we can amplify them and apply them to our life. All right, here's the next commandment. Do you harbor the spirit of murder and hatred toward anyone? Now, you know, obviously we're not supposed to kill anyone, but what about hatred? You know, we're not even supposed to hate, are we? And can you imagine loving your enemies? That's tough, isn't it? You know, you go thinking about ISIS and all this stuff that they're doing, killing Christians and so on, you know. It's atrocious, you know. I've been reading through the Psalms, and it is interesting how God points out certain things. But, through the Psalms and so on, you know, he talks about evil, and evil should be destroyed. And yet it's a shame America is not even in a leadership role in what's going on with troubles in the world with ISIS and so on. So it is sad. One of the things I do pray in my prayer every morning, try to, I say, reward evil with justice. And again, this is sort of a biblical thing. That's why I sort of do that. But, you know, God's in charge, and he will, in time, take care of these things. All right, here's the seventh commandment here. You know, are we fleeing fornication and sexual immorality? You know, sex bombards us all the way around. You know, TV, movies, ads, everything is based on sex, it seems like. But yet, you know, we need to be cautious of this. And, you know, if we are tempted by something, then we need to flee it. You know, if you're getting a magazine you shouldn't be getting, well, then cancel it. You know, that kind of thing. But we do need to flee temptation, those kind of temptations. You know, get away from it. How about stealing here? Are you stealing anything or borrowing and not returning something? You know, someone could say, can I borrow the book from you? Yeah, well, after 5 years, they still got it, you know. Well, did they actually borrow it or did they steal it? You know, you wonder. Probably that time you've forgotten about it anyway. You know, the book wasn't that important. You know, I haven't missed it in the last 5 years. So, but again, you know, things we have to ponder. You know, we have to be aware of these kind of things. Are we putting in 8 hours of work for 8 hours pay? You know, that's a good question. You know, we all have to be diligent in our work. The way the economy is, jobs are hard to come by. You know, as we get a job or as we work our job, you know, we need to be able to do the best we can. Here's a question for everyone at this time of year. Do you cheat on your income tax? Interesting, huh? I remember years ago, there was a babysitter who had two rates. One rate was if you declared it on your income tax. The other rate was if you didn't. Obviously, you know, if you wanted a cheaper rate, you wouldn't declare it on your income tax. But she wasn't being honest, was she? I mean, everyone should obey. You know, the verse that Christ said, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God's. So if you need to pay your taxes, well, render to Caesar. Okay, how about bearing false witness here and telling little white lies? We should always tell the truth, right? But hey, do you remember the commercial, though, where Abe Lincoln's there and his wife comes up and said, honey, do I look fat in this dress? Abe didn't know what to say, did he? Meaning that Abraham Lincoln didn't tell a lie. See, that's sort of the gist of the story here. But you know, you have to work through those things, don't you? You know, try to be tactful, not hurt your wife's feelings, and so on, that kind of thing. But here's another thought along that line. What if it was Nazi Germany, and you were hiding Jews in your attic? You better be the best liar in the world, because those Jews are not only going to be killed, but you are too. So, now again, that's a little different situation, see? I mean, God wants us to protect life. So that's a little bit different than you know, him hauling around about your wife in the dress she's wearing. okay, let's go on to the next one here. You have an inordinate desire to possess something that belonged to someone else, and this leads you to sin. So this is coveting. You know, when coveting comes along, that's the first sin you break, because it's the spiritual, you know, it's within your mind. So you look at something, oh, that car, I got to have it so bad, I'm going to steal it, you know. Or perhaps that woman, look at her, you know, I'm going to steal that woman, I'm going to take her and whatever. But anyway, coveting is the wrong attitude, and obviously that is the first thing that happens. So we got to control coveting. If we control coveting our mind, then we control the other things that might come along with it, the other sins and so on that might develop from it. How's your tongue doing? Are you bridling your tongue? Are you bearing tales and backbiting at someone? Well, you know, we all do this at times, and you know, we need to slap her face or something, you know, say, I needed that, you know, whatever. But you know, we need to be careful, don't we? We all like to talk, and we all have a tendency to say things we shouldn't say. All right, here's the next one then. How are you doing against the works of the flesh? Now, this is Galatians 5:19-20. And this isn't applying that you do any of these things, but anyway, here's what Paul said. How are you doing with adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresy, envy, murder, drunkenness, and revelries? Woo! There's a wild list for you, isn't it? A lot of bad fruit. Now let's look at the next one. We'll see some good fruit. How are you doing with the fruits of the Spirit? Are you growing in love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control? You know, that's a good fruit. That's what we need to focus on, isn't it, every day. You know, in our prayers and each morning, you know, we ought to maybe ask God about that. You know, give me the fruits of your Holy Spirit. You know, help me to have more love for everyone. You know, people I work with, my family and whatever. Help me to have more joy in my life. You know, help me to smile more. You know, help there be peace. Help me to be patient and kind. And you know, one thing about reading the Psalms is about God's goodness and His loving kindness, as it says. And you know, those are some things we need to strive after too, to be loving and kind. All right, here's the next one here. How are you doing in your Bible study? Well, you know, this is part of our spiritual toolbox. And the Bible study is the first item here. And you know, we need to spend time, don't we? We need to read the Bible. You know, if you don't have a goal, that's one of the goals I set this year, is to read the Bible in a year. And I'm trying to diligently do that. And it takes time, you know. You got to spend a little bit of time every day or whenever you can anyway to get that time in so you can read it and study it. You know, if you've already read it and you want to do something else, well, then pick a topic and then you do get your Strong's Concordance out or something and try to do some research and so on. Or you can get online and do research that way. You always have to be careful about getting articles online though, because they may be preaching into heaven or something. You know, you got to be careful. But obviously we should be intelligent enough that when we read something, you know, we can realize that either something's not right or something's wrong with it. Okay, are you spending time on your knees in prayer? So this is the second item in our toolbox here, prayer. Do we pray fervently? You know, we need to take that time. One of the things I've been doing here lately in my prayer, and I've been really enjoying it, Ron Dar has a little book, some booklets out, and it's called Time with God, and it's Reflection on the Psalms. And every morning I read one of those, I like a psalm, and I read his commentary, and I meditate a little bit on what he might say and so on. But, you know, it's again, you can take the psalms and make it your prayers. You know, just like David's psalms and whoever else wrote the psalms there in the Bible there. But you can always take those and make them your prayers. All right, the next item here in the toolbox here is meditation. You know, it seems like we always have to have something, aren't we? You know, we have to have our iPad playing around with it or games or something, you know, or we're doing something. You know, if we even have some private time, you know, you go and maybe read the newspaper or something, you know. But it's like we don't want to be alone with our thoughts. But yet we need to do that, though. We need to maybe go for a walk. You know, take that time, quiet time, and meditate and think about God's way of life and so on. Maybe at night, when you're having a little trouble sleeping, we'll sort of meditate on something about God, religion, or maybe the Ten Commandments or something, you know, meditate on. And then the fourth item in our toolbox is fasting here. So when's the last time you fasted? You know, obviously we all fast on Day of Atonement. But you know, we do need to take other times in the year to be able to fast and to draw closer to God. Are you in faith? Are you in the faith here? Do you have faith? Faith is a very important quality that you know, in our Christian lives. And, you know, it's expecting God to answer something. You know, we have a question or something, a problem in our life, and we have to exercise that faith to be able to get an answer. And even in healing, you know, how many times did Jesus heal somebody? He said, by your faith are you made well. So even in our healing, you know, we have to have some faith involved in our own healing. Do you ask God to chasten you as a son? You know, we probably don't like correction. None of us do. But again, we need to ask for it. You know, take the time to maybe ask God. You know, hey, I got a problem in my life. Or you say, well, boy, you know, things look pretty good right now, Father. But you know, maybe you could show me some areas I need to work on. You know, chasten me. You know, help me to grow. And how are you doing casting down arguments? you know, are you trying to avoid arguments or create? I remember years ago I worked with some guy and he just loved to devil people. And he just loved to aggravate people and set you up and all that kind of stuff. You know, we shouldn't be doing that. You know, we need to avoid that kind of thing. Now, how are you doing bringing every thought into captivity and to the obedience of Christ? That's tough, isn't it? You know, you have good thoughts come in your mind and you have bad thoughts. Well, obviously, you need to put the bad thoughts out and think on the good thoughts. But anyway, you know, that's tough to do. So we need to work at it and struggle with it. Is Jesus Christ living in you? Are we following His example? You know, when we look in the Bible and we see all through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you know, we can read about what Jesus did and what He said and so on. But, you know, we need to be able to apply it in our lives and follow in His footsteps and that kind of thing. Do you love Jesus enough to keep His commandments? Well, obviously, He was the God of the Old Testament. He's the one who gave the Ten Commandments to us. But anyway, we do need to keep them, you know. But again, Jesus made that comment in John 14:15. And, you know, do you love me? Keep my commandments. Okay, an important part of Jesus' teachings here is revealed in the Beatitudes here. So are you filled with pride? You know, are you arrogant? There's a certain politician that we all might think about who's very arrogant, you know. But we don't want to be that way. We want to be humble and poor in spirit. So, humble. We want to be meek. You know, Matthew 5:5 says, "The meek shall inherit the earth." And that's what we want to do. We want to be meek. Just like Moses said something about Moses was the most meek man who ever lived. Do you hunger and thirst after righteousness? Well, again, righteousness is God's law. You know, we need to want a desire to do right, to do good, to be like God, to be like Jesus. You know, He's our example. Do you extend mercy to others? And are you pure in heart? You know, if we don't forgive other people, God won't forgive us. That's pretty important, isn't it? And yet sometimes you'll hear people, I remember I worked with some guy, he said, "I can't stand my mother-in-law. I'd never forgive her for anything," that kind of thing. You know, that's not the right attitude, even if it's your mother-in-law. Thankfully, I always had a good relationship with my mother-in-law, for the most part. You know, even if I did slam the door one time. She didn't like that. Okay, are you a peacemaker? You know, do we want to make peace, or do we want to argue with people? But again, sometimes we need to maybe bite our tongue or something, you know, and try to make peace and try to maintain peace in your family and your coworkers, wherever you are. Sometimes people are just hard to get along with, you know, and that kind of thing. And sometimes you do have a problem with that. Do you live by every word of God? Matthew 4:4. Now you're talking about something tough. The Jews have 613 laws. In their, like Mishnah and so on, you know. These are like Old Testament laws. That's a lot of laws. But yet, here again, we are told to live by every word of God. So we need to try. Do you ask God to search out and examine your ways and ask Him to help? You turn back to Him? Well, that's over in Lamentations. Well, we need to be repentant, don't we? And that's what Passover is all about. Be repentant. You know, Jesus is our Savior. He's the one who died on that cross for us. You ask God to search and try you so that He can know your heart? David did that. You know, search me, O God. Well, we need to do the same thing, don't we? You know, ask God to, you know, search me. You know, search out my thoughts here and reprove me, you know, help me. So in conclusion, how are you doing in testing yourself? This is a small list of questions, but it should stir your mind to examine yourself so that you can be worthy to take the Passover sacraments of the bread and the wine. So we must strive towards perfection and be an overcomer.